place when their stay in this park after that park ends, because you can only stay a total of 30 days a year, 2 weeks at a time. Nonetheless, you are really the only camper that I know of. Well, there are others who have an interest, but you are the one who's been certainly very active in confronting the Citizens Committee with what you consider to be problems and injustices.
I've been right alongside.
Oh, yeah, talking on the phone. I've been right along with Robert all along, you know, and I really believe strongly that the homeless situation can be alleviated. However, unfortunately, the homeless people themselves aren't standing up for themselves. I hate to admit that, but it's true. And if they had have stood up for themselves from the very beginning of this ordeal we're going through right now, things would have been very different, and we would have gotten more results. And as it is right now, to be honest, the opponents are somewhat beating us down, you know.
Would you say, Dan, that you had some criticisms of the Citizens Committee? I mean, why did you come yesterday to the Citizens Committee for the homeless board meeting? Why bother to come all the way in from Sunset Beach? I mean, you literally survived by going around picking up cans during the day in order to pay for your campsite, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, I have to pay, it sounds like a very small amount, but $5 a week. But when you're at Sunset Beach and you're trying to get around on a bicycle, it's pretty tough, and especially when you're 14 miles away from town. Plus, the rain has really messed me up and things, and it would be impossible for me to have a job right now where I'm at, because it's so far out from everything else.
I don't think people realize how difficult just ordinary activities are for homeless people. And what a challenge it is for homeless people. And if we as a community want to see homeless people improve their situation, that they need a hand up, not the boot.
Exactly. And that's why if we had a secure place to stay, even all we want is just a piece of land to set our tents on. You know, we're not asking for that much. Mm-hmm. We already have volunteers that would give us porta potties. You know, they would pay for it themselves. But if we had a secure place, like right now, almost everybody at the Sunset Beach right now is more or less stuck there. I'm one of the only ones that actually comes out of there most oftentimes, you know, every day, and in an effort to, you know, get a few bucks together so I can pay my rent and my little needs and things.
Well, they're just a fraction of the homeless people are at Sunset Beach.
Right, it's just a very small
fraction. Many homeless people have headed for the hills and Poganap, or I've certainly seen many more homeless people walking around the streets with backpacks on, carrying sleeping bags, sleeping in doorways, standing on street corners and panhandling cold signs. It's just the presence of homeless people throughout the community has dramatically increased since the closing of the campground.
We haven't been able to get rid of John Henry Washington. He wants to comment on this, so see what you have to think about this, Becky. Go ahead, John Henry.
Hey, what's your name?
I'm Becky.
Becky who?
I'm Becky Johnson.
Becky Johnson. What's your position in the community? What do you
comment.
Do?
Comment.
Oh, my comment. Oh, my comment, Becky, is very simple. The reason why we're having these problems is the fact that people want to be upper class, lower class, and they want to say homeless people. We're all people, and we're all suffering. Sometimes you might be caught out in the rain. You want to be called a homeless person, labeled a homeless person? Thank you, Robert, for the comment.
Sure. So that's a comment from John.
Yeah, I think, you know, two things that came to mind. First, I did object to your being ejected from the meeting, Robert.
Let me give the background on this. I came to this meeting after being told by a couple of employees that I'd contacted. I guess you mentioned it to me, and I also heard it from Barbara Riverwoman, who's a head of SOS, or one of the Lane spokespeople for SOS Save Our Shelters. Campers group that they had, Citizens Committee for the Homeless had decided to put a temporary restraining order out on me to bar me from coming to their board of directors meetings, allegedly under the pretext that I had disrupted their last meeting on December 28th. In fact, what the video cameras and the audio cameras as well as witnesses agree is that Paul Lee stopped the meeting when I was trying to speak during a period of oral communication, or actually during a period on the agenda reserved for that purpose, in order to stop me from speaking, in essence, in this case, playing a 45-second tape, which showed dereliction and essentially lying, or let us say promise-breaking, by two of their employees. Rather than hear that, Lee closed the meeting, at which point I raised my voice and simply repeated what was on that tape loudly enough for everyone in the room to hear as they left the room. Now that, in my mind, is not disrupting a meeting. It is conveying information as people leave, which was not allowed to be conveyed because the chairman of the meeting closed down the meeting early. That was my understanding of what happened. How would you interpret that?
That was kind of what everyone agreed upon is what happened.
Really? The board actually agreed at the next meeting that's what happened?
Well, yeah, because Paul had kind of given a version that I didn't think was quite correct, that you had disrupted the meeting and then he had to close it down because you were shouting.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, that's not how I recall it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, the way I recall it is that Robert wanted to have his opportunity to speak during the public comment period. And I said, and you kept pushing him off and not letting him speak. And finally, you did. It was his turn to speak, and he chose to play this tape recording, and you didn't want to hear the tape recording and end at the meeting rather than let him play the tape recording. I said, and then he started shouting, and Paul said, yeah, that's how it happened.
Yes, exactly.
So we do have an agreed-upon version of reality here.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Well, he can hardly dispute it because it's on tape, so if he continues to fabricate it, I wonder if we would be so candid if it weren't on tape. And it seems interesting to me that he didn't even, he was ready to call police and smear the reputation of an individual, myself, on the basis of this false account, so readily, even though he had a month to view the tape.
Yeah, no, obviously there's been a long-seated, simmering grudge between yourself and
Paulie. I'm sorry, a grudge does not justify a false accusation and the inappropriate use of the police department, plus essentially barring an individual from public participation in that meeting.
Well, my point of view,
I did
express this at the meeting,
yeah.
and that was that you have a right at a public meeting to speak at the public comment period, and that simply because you're expressing views that they don't want to hear, that's not a rationale for excluding you from the meetings or preventing you from... And then I also protested them insisting you turn off your tape recorder because I consider that a free speech issue.
Sure. Now, did the board agree to rescind this letter that Paul Marceau and, I guess, Paul Lee had written?
Oh, no. No.
So in spite of the fact that they all agreed there was no disruption at the last meeting, that the primary charge in this letter was false, nonetheless, I am to be barred from public meetings of the Board of Directors of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless.
I don't know if that's actually been tested. I mean, came to the next meeting and sat there, we do it all over again.
It was in the letter, and I presume unless the board changed it, that it would remain the policy of the board, or at least the policy of... I guess there's a subcommittee.
Yes, but unless they're willing to actually take out a restraining order against you and have a judge approve it, and that certainly
remains to be seen
that a judge would approve such an order.
Yeah.
In the absence of that, in spite of the letter, you know, the letter is what they want to happen, but I don't think it carries any legal weight.
Oh, sure it does. A letter is a statement. Actually, I'm looking for the letter now, which gives you notice that if you enter the property, you are guilty of trespass. That is a trespass notice. Once you have received that notice, if you show up at their meeting or their property, they can then have you arrested for trespass. And the police officer who arrived the second time agreed that is exactly what they could do.
Mm-hmm.
So you seem to take this rather lightly. I don't. I think this is an example of a vicious form of intimidation, which is not merely meant to apply to me, but to anyone who criticizes them in the fashion that I criticize them. Anyone that is persistently determined to bring to the attention of the public the kinds of abuses that they're going on at that Citizens Committee for the Homeless. And I mean, I kind of appreciate your mellow approach to this whole thing on the one hand, but on the other, I regard this as the most outrageous behavior on their part. And I can't say that because that Paul Lee agreed that there was no disruption, that there's not a problem. There is a serious problem when the police can be so abused, and that the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, which is supposed to represent the homeless, or is supposed to be acting on behalf of the homeless, even if they don't represent them in their interests, let's say. They actually don't claim to represent the homeless, or maybe they do. I mean, it depends on who you talk to.
That was one complaint was lodged against you, that you're not a homeless person yourself and that you don't represent homeless people. And I kind of had a little private laugh about that because there are no members on the Citizens Committee for the Homeless who are currently homeless. And in light of the fact that so many of the campers said they wanted the campground to stay open, you know, and the Citizens Committee closed it, they don't apparently represent the homeless people either.
Well, let me return to what happened yesterday.
Please, not on that issue.
Sure, I agree with you there. I mean, the board seemed to, I mean, my perception of it was, I came in and I was given this letter, which I'm having trouble finding. I probably will find it after the radio show is over, which in essence said, you know, get out. You're not wanted at this meeting. If you come to this meeting, you'll be arrested. And my response to getting this letter was, look, and people stood up and actually were physically threatening toward me. They demanded I leave. They were raging at me very close to my face in an angry tone of voice. I said, no, this is a public meeting. I'm going to stay here. And I'm also recording. And actually, I have some recordings I'm going to play about from that meeting later in the show, if I have time. And Dan says he was hit on the head by one of these people, actually in passing. I don't think the guy intentionally meant to hit him.
Yeah, he did say that.
You know. So
very concerned.
But the point is, I you know, they called the police when I told them I was not going to leave, and the police came, and I went out and talked to the officer who I knew, and I explained to him that this was really not a matter of disturbing the peace, because if they really were concerned about disturbing the peace, they had, you know, their action had to be from last week or last month, and they had no action, and they didn't call the police at that time. Indeed, they knew they had no leg to stand on. It was all being videotaped. There were plenty of witnesses. That kind of charge would not have flown at all.
I have found the letter that you're searching for.
Oh, good. You want to read the letter aloud?
Well, the pertinent passage says, during its regular open meetings, any person behaving in a manner deemed disruptive by the chair will be asked to leave the meeting. If anyone refuses the request of the chair or the sergeant-at-arms to leave the meeting, law enforcement will be called. Neither audio nor videotaping may be made during the board meeting without the explicit permission of the board.
Right. Why don't you read the rest of the letter, too?
You want more?
Sure.
You always want more, Robert.
Give me more.
From time to time, the board may and will go into closed session at its choosing. Generally, this will happen only when matters demanding confidentiality are to be discussed. These matters may include, but are not limited to, areas of legal, financial, or personnel nature and to grievance procedures. At such times, when the board chooses to go into closed session, the public, as well as CCH staff not directly involved in the matters at hand, may be asked to leave the meeting. I guess that's me on that one.
Is there more?
For those visitors and guests who wish to address the board, a specified time will be set aside for public comment after the board has finished its regular agenda. The normal time for such comments will be 2 minutes. For those who wish to address a particular matter before board discussion, they may do so in writing and submit their reflections and comments to CCH office by noon on the Friday before the regular board meeting on the fourth Thursday of the month.
You know, actually, this is not the letter I received. I guess you got a different letter.
This is the policy on open meetings. Oh, the letter is the one to you personally.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, what I'm trying to do, Becky, and we're bouncing around all over the lot here, is what I'm trying to do is to describe what happened for people who weren't there. And the chronology is this. I arrived, I was presented with this letter which said you have to leave because you disrupted the meeting last week. I disputed that and said, even if it were true, your action is not to bar me from future meetings, but to deal with that particular thing if you think it was criminal conduct. Mm-hmm. They disputed that, tried to forcibly, you know, through pressure of threats to make me leave. I declined, sat down, recorded what went on. A police officer arrived, I talked to the cop, I said, look, this is not a criminal action. He was persuaded by what I said after talking to the two individuals in question, and I then continued to record the proceedings. Daryl Darling insisted I not record the proceedings. I said I'm not interested. I'm going to continue to record the proceedings because it's a public meeting, and I did. He then said, okay, well, then we're going to have you arrested again. They called a second police officer who came, and they persuaded him that because the board had voted not to allow recording, with you dissenting because you felt it was a free speech issue, that I was violating their policy, so they could have me removed for disturbing the peace and trespass, which, of course, is preposterous. If they're having an open meeting, it's an open meeting, and they cannot stop me from recording, just like they can't make a vote on whether I should wear a crucifix, whether I should have a red hat, whatever. That could be so arbitrary, they could have me stopped at any point.
Well, even in this here, they say that what I had just read...
the point I'm making... Let me finish this chronology, though. I mean, I want to hear what you have to say, but... So, at that point, the police officer took me outside, or I went outside to talk to the cop, and then they locked me out of the meeting. And then they approached Dan Hopkins, who was inside tape recording the meeting, and they physically threatened to take the tape recorder away from him. Is that correct, Dan?
Yeah. Is this on? I think this is on, is it?
It is.
Is it? Oh, okay. Daryl Darling went right next to me and talked to Sherry Connable, and said that one of the choices they had was to physically take the tape recorder out of my hand. And at that point, I went outside to talk to Robert about if they could legally do that. And I'm not quite sure if they did have legal right to do that or not.
What did Sherry Connable say about this? Did she seem to agree with the citizens?
Sherry Connable definitely agreed with every single thing that Daryl Darling was talking to her about the unfairness of... the recordings, and that I wasn't doing a good job for my cause, with the homeless and everything by tape recording that meeting.
So Sherry Connable agreed that it would be perfectly appropriate to seize the tape recorder from your hands and to stop you from recording that meeting.
Everything I heard her say was she totally agreed with everything
he
said.
Is that your understanding too, Becky?
I wasn't privy to that because I was out in the hall at that particular point in the meeting. I had left the meeting to come and observe how the police were dealing with your situation outside of the meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think the reason it's important to bring this point up is that Sherry Connable, in the past, has... she's on the Save Our Shelter Committee. She and Barb Riverwoman have been important support people for the campers out at Sunset Beach. Sherry has been instrumental in issuing press releases, seeking an open-air shelter. She claims responsibility for having gotten together the Open Air Shelter Subcommittee in the fall. She claims to be the motivation behind the Kennedy Subcommittee that essentially has done nothing except to go through site after site and find all of them unsuitable and refuse to make any kind of statement to CCH that it should reconsider its placement of Community House until there is a legal site to be found. Nonetheless, she claims that, she has been an eloquent speaker. Sherry has always been eloquent on these issues, and it really saddens me, and frankly, it also angers me, to see her in a position where she is supporting repression by the very group that is kicking campers out, denying them shelter, and now denying them any public access to the meetings. She has a personal, of course, vendetta against me. Since 1990, she's had me excluded from her own meetings. And the kind of sick thing about this is she comes on as a friendly person with a big grin and a smile and how you doing, and the next minute there's a knife in your back. I mean, I really have to go public on this because though I do support some of the positions she takes in terms of open-air shelter, and I think no one is more eloquent than she on that issue, and she's right on that issue, her treatment of activists to her left, people who are more radical than she, is vicious. And I think it has to do with the fact that she really feels she needs to control the entire movement around her and discredit those people whom she regards as a threat to her leadership or an obstacle to her political strategy. And I say, I've invited her on the air to discuss this. I've even suggested mediation. I don't think any of this has been picked up. The last time that the two of us had a problem was at City Council, when we both agreed on Tuesday. The City Council voted to give money to Citizens Committee for the Homeless to move trailers, and then denied money to SOS, Save Our Shelter, to set up a campground. It was really kind of a sad thing, and I guess if I have more time, I'll talk about that. I doubt I'll have enough time this hour to do that. But her response to that, was as mine, just outrage and bewilderment and so forth. and we kind of did some interviewing before you outside, and you know, you were you know, you're sort of a video photographer, I should point out, as well as a member of the CCH, as well as...
Well, that filming was done in conjunction with Charlie Phillips for his Shadow and Light production.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's been...
Giving credit to Charlie Phillips.
Well, yeah, he produced the half-hour video campground, the open-air shelter.
Yeah, that's a great
video. On Channel 71.
Hopefully that, you know, I encourage people to try to get access to that. Maybe if you give a call to 423-HUFF, I'll pass on the word for people who are looking for access to the video campground, because I think that that is really one that should be shown more.
And we're putting together another half-hour special that'll be...
Anyway, my concern about, I mean, I'd love to see us engage in a common front, and I do think we do have common objectives.
Well, this is what, what just frustrates me. I mean, I see Sherry Connival as being very strong activist and advocate for homeless people. CCH has certainly done a lot for homeless people over the years. Maybe they're kind of falling down in some issues at this point in time. And I also see yourself as being a very powerful advocate for homeless people. I'll tell you, I think, you know, the people that are the enemy are like Walt Simons and Ray Belgard, who are these leaders who use their public forum to just openly bash homeless people and blame them for their condition and use that as some sort of rationale to not only not help homeless people, but to engage in open harassment of them.
Well,
it is a very, very unfortunate circumstance that the people who all have a common cause
are fighting each other.
Paulie, yourself,
well, see, the problem is,
Sherry.
I mean, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a part of it has to do with, it's not even fighting for pieces of a pie, because I don't think... I mean, there was an element of that, and the people were both trying to get money for this campground. But there's the fundamental thing is you have a monopoly service provider, which is the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, which runs all emergency shelter, really the major emergency shelter services in town. It has no procedures, as of yet, we hope it will get those procedures, for appeal process for anybody who's kicked out of its program. I continue to ask you as a board member to find out more information on that. For the last month, you've been unable to do that. You've been unable to get any significant information about a real appeal process for a person thrown out of their program.
Actually, I was not even able to get to that at yesterday's meeting because of the other issues that
Right, but it wasn't bad. You've had this request in for weeks to Paul Marceau, who's the head of the Interface Satellite Shelter Program and a big honcho on the CCH. I mean, the point is, when you're dealing with an organization which has a major amount of power and they are misusing this power, it doesn't do any good to say, well, we all oppose Walt Simons and Ronald Reagan. So what? Walt Simons is not really in a position where he controls homeless services. It's unfortunately the Citizens Committee for the Homeless that is in that position. And therefore, the house cleaning has to happen there. And it's also true, of course, that you want to go to the supervisors, and I suppose we could completely ignore Sherry Connable and the Citizens Committee for the Homeless and attempt some kind of action at the Board of Supervisors. And actually, I would not be averse to that. I think the Board of Supervisors needs to be, I think if 50 to 100 homeless people kept showing up at the Board of Supervisors meetings every week, there would be action pretty darn soon.
This is a countywide problem. It's not just the city of Santa Cruz. Homelessness exists throughout the county.
Yeah, I know.
And the county,
I've heard Mike Watson say that, and I do.
The county level has done nothing for providing services or help for homeless.
Not people. Least in terms of what it should be doing, and not in terms
this
of...
This is a commonly voiced... point of view from the city council is, oh,
yes.
We already do
than
anybody.
Yeah, I know. But the problem with that is that, you know, I guess the point is, it's possible with these allies, these people who are currently at each other's throats, me and Sherry and Paulie, you know, might unite in some kind of general action against the, you know, if there were a broader mobilization of homeless people to against the... the inaction and the bigotry of the Board of Supervisors.
There's a lot of frustration on all sides.
Yeah.
You know, we're running up against loggerheads everywhere we turn,
mm-hmm.
and there is a tendency to blame those who are using different tactics and then say, oh, well, we would have gotten it if you hadn't done that.
Right, that's what Sherry Connable said to me.
Exactly.
She accused me of calling the council member names,
I don't
which
really,
I didn't do at that point.
I don't really
probably should have.
Consider that fair. myself.
Yeah, I think, see, unfortunately, I mean, it's kind of, in a way, it's Monday morning quarterbacking, or it's nitpicking to say, well, she's, you know, nasty in this and inaccurate in that. But, of course, you notice it if it affects you personally, and you also notice it if there's a pattern, and more important than any, I don't mind what anybody says about me. They have a right to say anything they want or hold any view. But when they actively lobby, for instance, to have me arrested, when they actively lobby to exclude me from meetings, as Sherry Conable has done, you know, when they put on one face in public and another face when they're organizing behind my back, I have one face, I try to have pretty much one face for everybody, and I get upset when I see that happening with somebody else in a different way. And I really feel that, well, I don't like it a bit, I'll tell you right now. Anyway,
I
don't think it's productive
home
either.
A little bit.
I mean, you know, let me ask you about Ray McMinn. You're a woman who was up till 2 o'clock last night. You were telling me earlier, writing a brief for Ray, who is currently the only homeless member previously on the board. I guess he's still on the board. He's being held in jail in Virginia.
He's homeless now.
Now he's homeless again.
He's got
a home in a way. His bars are his boudoir, so to speak. So what's happening with Ray? Very briefly, because we got to get on to the curfew. We got a caller coming. I guess David Silva is going to be calling in about the curfew.
Dear Ray, and I spoke to him last night and this morning. We've decided to go to the media in Virginia regarding his case,
mm-hmm.
and so we're targeting the Richmond Times and the Roanoke Times. Major newspapers in there, and putting this forth before the citizens in Virginia to see if this is what they consider reasonable usage of their tax dollars to continue to harass and incarcerate this man who has really done a lot of good for the community. Oh, and probably the most interesting new development is the last Friday, Ray McMinn donated $10,000 to the Homeless Garden Project.
Really? Well, that's certainly good news. Maybe he can donate some money. Maybe we can get Paul Lee to donate some of his millions for a campground. Is that a possibility? No comment, eh, Becky? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So Ray said that the Homeless Garden Project is the love of his life,
uh-huh.
and he's donating whatever energy and effort and funds he has towards promoting the Homeless Garden Project. And if he is ever released from Virginia, he would traipse right on back to Santa Cruz and resume the work that he's doing for the Homeless Garden Project. So we wish him well.
Well, I guess if anybody's interested in writing letters on Ray's behalf, they can give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and we can put them in touch with you, and you can give them the relevant addresses, phone numbers, fax lines, and so forth. I'm glad that Ray has a friend in you, and I'm glad the Citizens Committee for the Homeless is doing this kind of organizing on Ray's behalf. You know, I'm also glad that they're doing the Homeless Garden Project, and I'm not displeased that there is a community house project in a sense. You know, it shouldn't be on top of the homeless campground when there's no other facility, and they shouldn't be, and they reveal how vicious they are when they attack and muzzle critics the way they have.
We talked after you left the board meeting.
Right.
After I was evicted
and locked out of the board meeting, and the police were twice called on a person sitting quietly with a tape recorder in a chair saying nothing. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
After we did discuss the need for an open air shelter, and specifically the Sycamore Grove, and Paul Lee lobbied very strongly for renewed effort to use the Sycamore Grove as the prime site for a new open-air shelter.
Did he offer matching funds from his inheritance to do that?
Not at that meeting.
I see.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, I'm sorry. It's interesting how the Citizens Committee for the Homeless loves to ask the City Council to do something. The City Council loves to pass the buck and say, well, the Citizens Committee does what it wants. But the fact is, both of these bodies are scratching each other's genitals here, I'm afraid. And what's going on is the Citizens Committee is pressing ahead with its own bureaucratic agenda, which is a little project for 45 people.
Uh-huh.
And the City Council is saying that's fine and using that as an excuse to essentially close down the campground. And I don't think
one other issue that came up was that in the 2 years that CCH was managing the open air shelter, that they ran up a $60,000 debt.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a major problem for their continued running of the campground.
I'm afraid that next to the $1 million that the community house costs, I don't have much sympathy for that argument. That's a bunch of crap.
Obvious.
It's obvious. But did anybody on the board bring it up? Did anybody on the board bring it up, Becky? This
that was
obvious argument.
That was, Paul Marceau was the one who brought up that the $60,000.
Did anyone bring up that the obvious argument is that there's $1 million to be spent on community house, but only they're going to start ranting about a $60,000 problem with the campground? That there's a certain disparity of logic there? Did anyone bring that up?
That was not discussed.
No. Nothing is ever discussed that's relevant at the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, except on occasion when I've heard you, in a somewhat timid fashion, bring it up. And frankly, the reason you're timid is because you have no support. You are isolated on that body. I even have doubts you'll be able to continue as a member of that body, though you are, you're excellent at walking the wire there.
Well, actually, I think that has been resolved, that I am still firmly on the CCH board.
Yeah.
I was publicly rebuked at the meeting for having spoken up at City Council, and that kind of was the end of it, as far as that goes.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't ask me to step down or any such action, and I don't anticipate
that
either.
Well, that's not the way they're going to do it. You will simply be sidelined somewhere along the line.
Well, there's certainly a lot of things that go on CCH that I'm not privy to.
Yeah, I wanted to point that out.
I did find out that it was Tuesday the executive board met, and
this is the executive board that voted to have me arrested at the current meeting, right?
I need to go.
Well, look, Becky, thank you very much, and I do appreciate your speaking up at my behalf on the Citizens Committee. You're voting for free speech there, and hope we'll talk to you again.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz, listening to 96.3. Yeah, it is another call coming in on Free Radio. Let's see who it is.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yes, this is David Silva.
David,
I'm really, really outraged at everything I've just heard.
Right.
I really think you're correct on your right to play a tape, and you're absolutely correct in terms of the Brown Act on your right to record that tape. For Daryl Darling not to know that is just shows that when those people slightly to the left decide that the people any further to the left are causing trouble, that they're usually the ones that are the most indicting. Just like Bobby Kennedy put more communists indicted them more than any other person in the 50s during the McCarthy era. It was Bobby Kennedy who was there.
So let me introduce who you are. You're an activist with the Green Party.
Yeah, Green Party, We the People. I was the chairman of the Jerry Brown campaign, and I'm also a former food stamp worker who has probably met more homeless people than any other person around here. I know what the homeless problem is quite a bit. It's not just 200 people or 50 people replacing 200 people. It's thousands of people hiding in the mountains and hiding from police and hiding from sheriffs and hiding from horses all over this county in canyons, under rocks. I know of a man that has a home that's built underground and into a tree in order to hide, so that because he's homeless. It's a much, much larger problem, and to see this, to hear this squabbling, and to have your rights, taken away from you when you are such a, strong advocate, and I don't think that you're to the left or to the right or to the, or to the radical, end of any spectrum. I think that you're just someone that's seeing the truth and refusing to let it be buried away by compromise, and I'm just really outraged, I love Becky Johnson, and I realize she's walking a tight wire, and I'm glad she's on that board, but it sounds to me that they need to be severely chastised for the, you know, for what they've done to your civil liberties and for what they're turning that board into by the type of behavior they're conducting.
I agree. I would like to see a massive call-in protesting what's going on, and I encourage people to call Daryl Darling at 458-1958. That's 458-1958. That's actually his bed and breakfast home. He's got a large kind of operation.
I've spanked him before, and I intend to do so again.
Yeah, Darling is actually the initiator of this recent arrest in the actual committee meeting of yesterday. Is that your phone or my phone?
That's my call waiting, wouldn't you know it?
That's okay. Do you want to take your call and
I
get
check
back
it?
To me?
Yeah.
Sure. Well, why don't you check it and call me back?
Okay.
All right.
So you are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3. We have been discussing issues around the open-air shelter and strange exclusionary policies by the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, which recently called police twice to have a peaceful, quiet, non-disruptive activist excluded from their meeting for essentially coming to what was described admittedly as a public meeting, their monthly board of directors meeting, and making a tape recording of that meeting. I do want to say, with respect to the last caller, I was that person who was twice threatened with arrest and finally locked out of the meeting simply because they didn't want me either hearing or recording, or another individual hearing or recording. That was Daniel Hopkins, a homeless person, and probably the only homeless person in the room at that meeting. They locked him out as well. Actually, I think there was one other person who was a couch surfer who I invited, a woman named Melissa, who showed up at the meeting as well. And she might have actually opened the door for us to let us in, but I didn't want to go back into the meeting. I was originally planning to just take an arrest because I felt that it was an important enough issue, and I hoped in a way to influence the hearts of some of the people on the board. If they saw me quietly sitting there while Paul Lee, Paul Fotenhauer, Paul Merceau decided to have me arrested and led away in handcuffs for the crime of tape recording quietly a public meeting, I hoped that would have some impact on the committee. But frankly, I don't know that it would. Here's another incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, this is David Silva here.
Hi, David. You're back again.
I'm back again.
Yeah,
I was handling another bureaucratic mess for some other person on the line. Bureaucracy never seems to...
Somebody has to handle those messes.
In torturing people, you know, they just keep torturing people.
Right. You know, I guess I'm gonna, I just want to say one thing. I did do a little research on the Brown Act because I anticipated this kind of an arrest coming up. And I didn't get extremely far. I found by talking to the city clerk, their opinion was, and they read, that the Brown Act didn't apply unless the legislature appointed one of the people on the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, and they haven't. So it may be that they are outside the Brown Act. On the other hand,
I think funding has something to do with the
funding
Brown Act.
Funding has something to do with it, but I don't think receiving funding alone is sufficient to subject them to the whole terms of the Brown Act. The Brown Act, for those who are listening, is the act that requires them to open their meetings, to give notice of their meetings, to allow the public into their meetings, to allow to publish agendas about their meetings. So
let's just say that if there's any community in the United States that should be in the spirit of the Brown Act, that spirit certainly has been violated.
And the other point is that if you declare your meeting to be a public meeting, I think you then subject yourself to some extent to not so much the requirements of the Brown Act in terms of notice, but you cannot start evicting people unless there is some legal grounds.
Yeah.
If you want to declare it not a public meeting, which you're only going to allow select people in that are part of your club, that's one thing. But if you declare it to be public, you have
something
to let
everybody about the United States Constitution, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I appreciate your support on this, David. What I'm going to do now, unless you wanted to comment more on this particular issue, is again urge people to call Daryl Darling at 458-1958 and protest this kind of behavior by his Citizens Committee for the Homeless and by him. He was the man who initiated this the second arrest attempt. The first arrest attempt, I said, was dismissed because the cop thought there was nothing going on.
Yeah.
He said, you're going to record. I will then call the police because we don't want you to record this. He claimed that I misrepresent him in tapes. We'll see if I misrepresent him. I'm going to play exactly what happened as soon as I hang up here.
Oh, good. That's what I was wondering. I mean, like, what is this mystery piece of material that you know they had to close the meeting in secret for? You know, it's like
actually, it's interesting. I don't have that material because they forced all tape recorders out at that point. Becky gave us a description that I guess they discussed open air shelter and my case, and I was not allowed to be present. I was not allowed to answer any accusations about my case. I was simply excluded from the room.
By the way, I read the SOS proposal on having a series of satellites with the mm-hmm. of open airs with the near 150 in Coral. I think that's a great idea.
Right, I agree too. Yeah, I think that's good.
I mean, that's the horse that should be before this cart that's rolling over.
I agree. And but the problem, of course, is the seriousness is of a group in supporting that, whether it be the city council or whether it be the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, can only be judged by the kinds of actions they take to do support it. And when they are so clearly in a position to be able to postpone their community house project and allow people to camp during a vital period and they refuse to do it, in fact, they break their word to campers, violate verbal contracts, close meetings to stop it, then you have to say, well, hey. And also, similarly, regarding SOS, SOS has decided to form an alliance with Citizens Committee for the Homeless. That's the last thing I've heard. In order to lobby and also hopefully to make friends with the city council, make friends with the board of supervisors, and get this stuff passed. Now, in theory, that's a good strategy. In practice, homeless activists have found in the past that you don't get anywhere with these programs unless you kick their butt.
Yeah,
I'm afraid.
Yeah, it's called co-optation.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm going to play a little bit of this tape, and then I hope I'll get back to you, and we can do some of the curfew stuff.
If I'm not blowing my nose, I'll call you.
Cool.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, David.
So, let's hear a little of the tape, the infamous tape that I promised you, of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, from yesterday. This is their board of directors meeting, and you've been hearing me talk about it. Let's hear what actually happened.
With the plan, Bob is a former director of the River Street Shelter, the supportive outreach services.
That, of course, was the wrong tape. Hang on there.
January 25th, 1995, it's about 4 o'clock, outside the Citizens Committee for the Homeless' Board of Directors meeting. There are rumors of some kind of hassle being planned for me, so Dan here is going to carry the tape recorder and do the dirty deed. Dan, here's a second tape, in case you need it, and we'll see just what the heck is going on. You stop it like this. So we're approaching the meeting. With flyers in hand, Daniel Hopkins is with me, and you want some flyers? Right. Well, you can. I don't think they've started yet.
Robert,
hi.
What's up? Mr. Lewis.
Yes.
You, anyway.
Yes.
Dr. Green. If you think we're not having recognition,
yeah.
We will call the police. You have disrupted and harassed this meeting twice, and you will not be allowed to do it tonight.
I didn't harass the meeting.
He
closed the meeting.
Yes,
yeah.
He did not. Don't argue with me.
I hear you.
Don't argue with me.
Okay, we just,
but I'm telling you, if you, in any way, interfere with this meeting,
it's on tape.
You will call the police, and you will not be taken.
Okay. Oh, yes, I will.
What you're hearing is a sort of a prologue before the actual meeting when a member of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, an older man whose name I can get but I'm not quite sure of, was very upset. He felt I disrupted the last meeting. He came up and spoke angrily to me, and that's what you hear. And the other voice is that of Daniel Hopkins trying to put in his own perception that it wasn't I who disrupted the meeting, rather it was Paul Lee who closed it down and stopped me from speaking.
Yeah, I didn't disrupt the meeting.
Paul Lee, no. We just talked to him about it.
I heard what you said.
I
understand it. Okay. We never finished our conversation last time.
No, there's no conversation.
I see. So you agree with it? We can talk in here. Talk in here. This is fine.
No, I want to have it private.
Well, I'd rather be public.
I know, but just to demonstrate to you why we have to tell you here.
And here we hear Paul Lee, who's the chairman of the board of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, trying to lure me outside, presumably so he can give me this paper that says you can't be here and then lock me out. I refused to go outside. I insisted it be done in a public place. A word to the wise for anyone who is trying to draw you aside to a private conversation in this kind of a situation, don't do it.
That's your public. No, no, that's your public.
Paul.
You're not welcome to the meeting. We're not going to let that effect. And if you persist, we'll have to call the police. Because you disrupted the meeting when I
was called on when he talked
to him. He started screaming and hollering, and I had to adjourn the meeting.
That's not
going to happen again.
That's not what the videotape shows.
I don't care what you say.
No, sure.
You're not welcome here, and you are going to leave.
And that is the voice of Paul Lee.
Please eject you.
What? Well,
that's your only choice.
I'm going to read it first. I'll make mine of mind what to do about this.
Do you want me to call
the... No. Let's see what you want to do.
As you know, Citizens Committee of the Homeless is a private, not-for-profit agency subject to provisions of the Brown Act regarding open meetings. Nevertheless, as a public service agency concerned with the homeless to protect our community, our policy has been and will continue to be to conduct board of director meetings which are open to the public, because this is admittedly open to the public. You, however, have demonstrated an unwillingness to observe the board's adopted procedures for its meetings, and an unwillingness to observe even the basic courtesies of civil discourse. I disagree with that. Moreover, you have engaged in repeated willful attempts to disrupt the workings of the board by speaking without being recognized by the chair and shouting during the board's discussions. Now, any voice raising at the last meeting happened after the meeting was closed, and that's on videotape. So that's the fact. Because of this proven and repeated behavior, you are no longer welcome to attend the public meeting of this board of supervisors, directors of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. If you appear at a board meeting and be asked to leave, if you refuse to leave, law enforcement will be called. So this is a meeting that's open to the public. I have not engaged in any disruptive behavior today.
Well, you were last time, and that's why we don't want you here today. We don't know that you're not going to disrupt.
I think you have to assume that a man's innocent until proven guilty in the situation.
Guilty from last time.
Do you want to go after me for that incident? You certainly can.